Okay, so Paul the prisoner. Go to Acts chapter 16, and let's just review where we left off today, and then we'll move ahead. So in Acts chapter 16, these verses that show this cruel mistreatment of Paul the preacher, he was persecuted and thrown in prison. Verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I'm thankful for our judicial system that says you're innocent until what? Proven guilty. Well, here Paul was guilty until proven innocent. And they threw him in, they began to beat him. And then verse 23, when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. I was in jail once, visiting someone. I think I've told you this before, but it made such an impression on me. In our church in Georgia was a deputy sheriff. He worked at the Richmond County Jail. And so there was a man that actually had done work on the church. He was a brick mason, and he got into trouble. And so Brother Jerry told me that this man was in the jail. So I went there. It was a multi-storied building, and Brother Jerry met me at the front door, and then he took me in the elevator. I went upstairs. The doors opened, and then another door opened into this inner room. There was glass all around, or plexiglass, something you could see through it. And there was a table in the middle with a chair on each side, but they were not freestanding table and chairs. They were all fixed to the floor. So it was more like maybe a stool or something. So I went in, and through the other side of the door, the prisoner came in, and we could sit there and talk. But we're in a bubble. Somebody's watching us. So I was able to talk to this man and counsel him. And I got up to leave, and so I went over to my side, and the door opened, and I stepped out. And then I went to the elevator to get out of there. And I started to push a button and realized there was no button to push. So I'm standing here, and I'm imprisoned right now. How do you get out of this place? And then I heard a voice. I guess whoever was watching us said, stand by or something. And pretty soon the elevator opened, and I stepped in. And I looked for another button to push. No button. But thankfully it went down, and then it opened, and there was Brother Jerry. And I was very glad to get out of jail that day. Another time, Rockwall County Jail, tragic, tragic situation. A young man from the church in trouble again. And there he is, the Rockwall County Jail. And so I was able to get into this room, and there was a window there, and he was on the other side. He finally came in his orange suit, and he sat down, and I sat down. We could not touch. I couldn't shake hands. And he picked up a phone receiver, and I picked up one. We had a conversation through that window. These two people had committed crimes. That's why they were in jail. Paul had committed no crime, and yet he ends up in jail. He ends up a prisoner. And his crime was that he preached Jesus as Savior, as Messiah. So at the end of Acts, after Paul has had three missionary journeys and a trip to Rome, notice what we find here in Acts chapter 27. Paul was in a shipwreck. The ship was wrecked and there were prisoners on board, and the centurion was concerned about what would happen to the prisoners. Look at verse 30. Acts 27, verse 30. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut away that little boat and let it fall down, so they weren't able to escape in that. And then look at verse 36. Paul had encouraged them to eat. They were all encouraged. They also took food themselves. Verse 37, "And in all we were 276 persons on the ship." And so there was a terrible shipwreck that happened. And verse 42, "The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape." You see, they didn't want to be held responsible for letting their prisoner escape. Just like the Philippian jailer wanted to kill himself, he didn't want to be held responsible that, where are the prisoners that were in your charge? And even the ship wrecked here, they could all get away. The soldiers said, "Well, we're just going to have to kill everybody. That's the solution. We'll kill them." Verse 43, "But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship." So it was that they all escaped safely to land. So God gave favor to Paul through the centurion, who commanded the other soldiers, "Don't touch the prisoners, leave them alone." He wanted to spare Paul. So now Paul arrives finally at Rome. And verse 11 of chapter 28, "After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days." Notice again Luke's very careful historical detail. Verse 15, "And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as API Forum and Three Inns," two towns. "When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage." He was encouraged when he saw these brothers. Verse 16, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard." They were all delivered safely. They had not escaped. They had not left even when the ship had wrecked. "He delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." So they allowed Paul to dwell in his own place, but there was a soldier there guarding him around the clock. They had shifts, I'm sure. So how would you like that? Either to be chained to a guard or to have one standing there with their sword, lest you make any wrong move. This is Paul the prisoner. So we come to the end of the book of Acts, and Paul is imprisoned in Rome. It's from imprisonment that God used him, as we'll see in just a minute, to write. God used that time, and he wrote Scripture through the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 28, verse 17. "It came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, 'Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation." So Paul had made his appeal to Caesar. That's why he's going to Rome. He's under guard. Look at verse 20. "For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." So apparently when they came to visit him at his hired place there in Rome, the place where he was staying, he was chained. And the guard, the soldier was there, maybe bound to him. Now notice, though, what God had done for him. Verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. A Bible conference with Paul, morning to evening. And they come to his place where he was lodging, even though he was in chains, even though a guard was there. And they were hearing Paul, hearing him expound the scriptures. In verse 24, some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So Paul says, this is what Isaiah was saying, judicial hardness and blindness. You hear, but you don't understand. You see, but you don't perceive. In verse 28, Paul says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. I mentioned before that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And so here he's saying to the Jews who are rejecting him, the message of the gospel is going to the nations, to the Gentiles. Verse 29, when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Even though he was imprisoned, he for 2 years was in Rome preaching, expounding the scriptures, and no one was forbidding people to come to him. He had a wide open door, even as a prisoner. That's why he was able to say in Ephesians 3:1 this. He understood ultimately who was his master over him. And he said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. He said, ultimately, it's the Lord Jesus who's allowed me to be in prison. He has a plan for me, and it's that I might reach the nations and preach the word. So even in Paul's most challenging circumstances, he was a gospel ambassador. He gave the message of the gospel even in the hardest of circumstances. So what hard circumstance are you in? God has you there for a reason, for a purpose, to be a light, to be a witness, to be a testimony. This is a way that we can pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church, that they would be a light and a testimony even in their hard circumstances of imprisonment. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians 1, 1, what does Paul call himself here? Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. We have been bound to the Lord Jesus. I know that my chains are for a purpose, that God has a purpose in my suffering. And I'm suffering here as a servant, a doulos, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that put me in these circumstances, in this situation, and I'm serving here gladly. So Paul writes Philippians from imprisonment in Rome. At least twice he was imprisoned in Rome. He was set free, and then he was imprisoned again. So God used even this time in his life. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 16. The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my what? Chains, my bonds. And he says in verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ. He was in chains. My chains are in Christ. The reason I have these chains on me is because the Lord Jesus put me in these, and this circumstance has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Even people in Caesar's household have known about this prisoner and his cause of Christ. And so if Paul had a shift of guardsmen chained to him, then as they would go through the whole squad, maybe this is how this happened. It's become evident to the whole palace guard. One guard after another. What was your duty last night? Oh, I was chained to that Paul guy over there. What did he tell you about? Well, he told me about Jesus, the Messiah. Did you ever guard him? I sure did. Well, what did he tell you? Same thing. And so he had a continual audience, and God used that to bring people to faith in Jesus. Tremendous purpose of God, even in the hardest of circumstances. So here is Paul the prisoner. Now let's go to this one. Paul the penman. Paul the penman. These letters are called the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. These four are called the prison epistles because they were written when Paul was either under house arrest, chained to a guard, or with a guard over him, or imprisonment of some kind. So we have Paul the penman. He penned books of Scripture. Now just survey with me. Open your Bible up to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm just going to fly through some references to make a point here. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 1:1. And look what we have here. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Paul is the penman, the author. Romans, 1 Corinthians, and this is his salutation. He's greeting a church or a group of Christians, and then he gives his letter, which is Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, we have the same. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So you get the idea. We have Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. 13 books out of 27 were written by the Apostle Paul, the one who used to be the persecutor. And some think that he wrote Hebrews. I personally don't think that. Hebrews does not have the salutation like these other books. It does not say Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. But some feel strongly that Paul wrote it. I don't think, we don't know. It doesn't say for sure who wrote it. But if you take that to be Paul's work, then that's 14. So there are 27 books in the New Testament. 13 Paul wrote by the work of the Holy Spirit. And they were recognized as Scripture even in the first century. Notice this in 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice these amazing words. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. So here is the Apostle Peter, the apostle to the Jews, Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, and here's what Peter says. 2 Peter 3, 15. And consider that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul. I love this. Peter is authenticating Paul. And Peter says about Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. See that? 2 Peter 3:15, he has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. So Peter is saying that Paul's epistles have some things in them that are hard to understand. And Peter says, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. Now get this, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So Peter understood the writings of Paul to be scripture, because it was by the Holy Spirit that Paul and Peter wrote. And Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. How many of you know what a boy is? Not a B-O-Y, but the other boy, B-O-U-Y. Where do you find those boys? In a sea, like in a channel. And they may be anchored at the bottom. Some of them may have bells on them, right? But they move about, don't they? What moves them? The wind and the waves. They're moved about. They're buoyed along. And they're anchored, but they are buoyed along by the wind, or if they have a bell, the bell goes off as they are moved. That's the idea, that Paul was buoyed along by the Holy Spirit, and yet he chimed the word of God, we could say. He sent out the bell sounds of the word of God, but it was the Spirit of God who was moving along Peter and Paul and Matthew. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were buoyed along by the Spirit of God. And what ended up on the papyrus was the word of God, guided by the Holy Spirit. So Paul wrote these letters. There are personal elements in them. As he writes to Timothy, very personal elements showing his relationship to Timothy, to Titus, and to Philemon. Amazing books. The Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul as the penman. Well, there's one more, and that is Paul the promoted. And what do I mean by that? Well, go to 2 Timothy. We should love the works of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Timothy. I love the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy was also written from prison, but it's not called a prison epistle. It's called a pastoral epistle. I love 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and all the other books too. But these three books, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, are called the pastoral epistles. And they tell us so much about life in the local church and how it should be. Well, 2 Timothy, the second of the pastoral epistles, is Paul's last will and testament written to his son Timothy. In chapter 4, these amazing words, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So Paul pours out his heart to Timothy. And look at verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. The Apostle Paul was getting to the end of his days on earth, and he compared himself to a liquid offering, a drink offering poured out to the Lord. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. It wasn't long after Paul wrote these words that he was beheaded in Rome. And that's what I mean, he was promoted. A horrific death. But what awaited him? The crown of righteousness. He says, the Lord will give to me in that day, the day that he meets him, or the day when Jesus comes back. And not only to me, but also to those who love his appearing. So Paul viewed death as a promotion. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is what? Gain. And so Paul indeed was promoted, and there was a crown of righteousness awaiting him. He was a powerful servant of God. He started out as Saul the murderer, and he ends up as Paul the missionary. What an amazing life by the grace of God. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So the persecutor was pursued, and that one pursued, his life was totally changed by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, and he became a preacher, and then he became persecuted and a prisoner. But even in his prison cell or home, God used him as a penman to record scripture. God has a sovereign purpose until God was done with him and promoted him to glory. The best-selling book for some years, I don't know if it's true today or not, but for many years, next to the Bible, the bestseller was Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. You know when he wrote that? When he was in the Bedford jail in England. He was imprisoned. And that's when he wrote that life-changing and historic book that has touched so many lives. God had a purpose for him being in that very difficult situation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your power in the life of the Apostle Paul. Thank you, Lord, that we have now in our fingertips the words of the Holy Spirit through this great apostle that we can read and study and memorize. Lord, he suffered that we might be blessed, but he was doing so because of his passion to know Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. So we thank you for your sovereignty, for your work to save people, even people that we might think are just beyond the grace of God, like Saul of Tarsus. But not so. You saved him. You had a purpose for him. And the fruit of his labors we enjoy today. So we thank you for your working today. We thank you for your purpose. And we pray that we also will be torchbearers, light bearers, to bring forth the word of God to those in darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.